Big news out of the Supreme Court. Justice Stephen Breyer is expected to step down from the court at the end of this term, this after nearly more than two decades on the nation's high court. A formal announcement is expected as early as tomorrow. And joining us is Nina Totenberg, NPR legal affairs correspondent. And Nina, what are you hearing about Breyer retirement?
Well, I've been hearing for weeks that he had decided to pull the trigger, and then I got confirmation this week, but didn't know when. I was told it would be late this week, and I think they are still expecting to have an announcement tomorrow. The White House is, you've heard of a non-denial denial. Well, what the White House issued today was sort of a non-confirmation confirmation. Jen Psaki, the White House spokesman, tweeted saying, "It has always been the decision of any Supreme Court justice if and when they decide to retire and how they want to announce it, and that remains the case today. We have no additional details or information to share from the White House." So I call that a non-confirmation confirmation.
Yeah. Why is this presumed announcement tomorrow coming? Why would he retire around now?
He at the end of this term, which is when he would actually formally step down, he'll be closer to 84. He will have served 28 years on the court, and that's a career. And he knows that were something untoward to happen to him. Not on a schedule. It is entirely possible that Republicans could control the Senate after the 2022 elections, and that would not be his optimum desire to have a 7-2 super conservative majority. So he decided to pull the trigger. He's always said, and he said to me in an interview last fall, that he didn't want to die on the Supreme Court. That's not his objective. He likes to write books. He has a very active life outside the court. One of his daughters and grandchildren live with Justice Breyer and his wife. He does a lot of public speaking and is very interested in lots of things. So I don't think that he thinks he would die just because he retired.
Okay.
And I think the time has come.
Yeah. Well, speaking of timing and calendar, as you're describing, this presumed retirement would give the Biden White House the ability to choose a replacement. Joe Biden has talked about appointing an African-American woman to the high court. What is the early talk chatter about possible replacements?
Well, the two leading contenders are said to be federal judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was on President Obama's shortlist for the court in 2016, and California Supreme Court Justice Leandra Kruger, who served as an assistant and then deputy solicitor general in both Democratic and Republican administrations prior to her being nominated to the California Supreme Court, where she now sits as a justice. So those are the two leading contenders, I think we would have to say, at the moment.
Yeah. And this is early, but what do the politics look like as far as a potential vote to confirm a nominee? We know how razor-thin the margin in the Senate is.
It's razor-thin, but I would assume that, assuming nothing untoward was revealed about either about whoever gets nominated, that the Democrats, and even with some Republican votes, would vote to confirm. All the rules that would allow the minority party, here the Republicans, to delay and prevent confirmation are pretty much gone. So I would expect that any nominee to the Supreme Court could get some Republican votes and would get all Democratic votes. Of course, if the Republicans controlled the Senate, there is, you know, an unbelievable array of things that the majority party can do to make sure there is no vote, to make sure there are no hearings. That's what happened with Merrick Garland. But at the moment, the Democrats control the Senate by a razor-thin edge.
And as far as Stephen Breyer and his career that you mentioned, as you look back on this, what big cases was he really in the middle of?
Well, I guess the one that got the most attention was a decision 5 years ago that he wrote for the court, striking down the then existing Texas law that had had the effect of closing more than half or some half the clinics, abortion clinics in the state. And he dissected the argument for the law, which was to protect the safe women's safety, and said that there was not any evidence to support that justification, and therefore the statute should fall. Of course, we live in very different times today. Roe versus Wade is hanging by a thread and may be struck down by the court. He's one of three liberal justices on the court now, and there are six conservatives on the court. But he's always been a person who was able to build consensus. You know, he was labeled a liberal. He didn't like the label. And he, in some ways, didn't deserve it because he was really much more of a centrist and able to bring together different wings of the court, even when he was part of a three-justice minority.
All right, Nina Totenberg, NPR Legal Affairs Correspondent. Nina, thank you.
Thank you.